Matthew chapter 4.
Mentioned before, it's always interesting when I preach here now, because I'm always, I've been used to series and books and things like that, and so it's always, what's the Lord doing in my heart? It's never had it like this before. I've preached through a few books and taught through a few books. I tried teaching through Isaiah once. That's a really long book. Needless to say, I didn't get through it, but I did go through a few. Nehemiah, I know, was a special one for me. And then when Redwood Falls closed, I was working my way through 1 Samuel. I can't remember if I got through it or not. But here is pretty much just some things, a lot like evangelism. A lot of times my sermons in evangelism came out of my own personal devotions. You know, it wasn't me going for a topic. It's just me reading the Bible and the Lord speaking to me as I read, as I read His Word. And then sometimes what takes place is it may be a spiritual struggle of mine. It may be a victory that I've had, but it's something that the Lord, His Holy Spirit, is working in my heart about. And I go to the passages of Scripture that have to do with that. And I think the Lord has shown me some things recently, and I want to preach from Matthew chapter 4 as a result of it. The title of my message tonight is this: It's From Satan. Now, my message is hopefully not from Satan, but the title is It's From Satan. Matthew chapter number 4 and verses 1 through 11. Sorry if that upset you over there. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Why don't you stand out of reverence for God's Word here, Matthew chapter number 4. Verses 1 through 11. You'll be able to tell this sermon will be about temptation. Temptation. Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. That's the goal and the temptation. And it can happen according to the Word for a time. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time. I thank You for Your teaching. I thank You for the Word, and I thank You for how Your Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to our hearts. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, please. The purpose for this message is this: that God's people would understand that temptation comes from Satan. For most of my Christian life, or my studying Christian life, I've always tried to figure out, is temptation from Satan or is it from my flesh? In fact, I remember asking the professor, and I'm sure this question is going to be asked up until the rapture, is it my flesh or is it the devil's temptation? And I've kind of gone back and forth on that. Is it just my flesh? Or is it the devil literally actively tempting? And I truly do believe, according to the Word of God, that the devil, and I think this is important for us to understand, which is why I'm preaching this here tonight, we need to understand that those temptations for any type of sin is coming from Satan. And I have a purpose for that, how this should change our minds. Now, without a doubt, regardless of where the temptation comes from, whether it's just our flesh, and I'll get to that here in the book of James and chapter number 1, whether it's just our flesh or whether it's sinful temptation, doesn't matter where it comes from, we are supposed to say no. We are supposed to give in to what the Bible says 100% of the time, regardless of where the temptation is coming from. We need to say no to sin. And if you're saved, it's been your experience, and with me being saved as well, it's been my experience, that the consequences of sin are never good. They never are. Now, the temptation may look good at first, but the results are always bad. I've been saved now for about 30 years, and my experience is this: the consequences of sin are always bad. Never good. And that's God's plan. And that's always going to happen that way. No true born-again Christian can look back at their life and look at their sin and their past and realize, you know what? I'm sure glad I did that, because that truly affected some good things. Now, can our sin, as how we look at it at the past, can it help us in a way? Yes, it can. It actually can. But it's not that it was beneficial to us as a whole, but as we look back at it, we can think about the things that took place there, and it can give us more wisdom. It can make us recognize the forgiveness of God. It can help us to recognize what we're not supposed to do in the future. But it has helped me from a certain perspective to recognize that, you know what? This temptation is coming from Satan. I guess in my flesh sometimes I thought that this is just something that's just naturally taking place. It's just taking place, and, you know, it's nobody's fault. And I started to realize, I think by the Holy Spirit of God illuminating me about some things, that Brian, this temptation is from Satan. This is not good. This is not something that's just natural. This is a temptation from Satan. Sometimes when the temptation of Satan comes, we fail to recognize it as his temptation, and therefore are willing to not take it as seriously as a born-again Christian should. You know, as I look at Matthew chapter number 4, and I look at the temptation of Jesus, Jesus knew that he was being tempted by Satan. He knew that. We can clearly see that. I think many times, folks, we're being tempted by Satan and we don't realize it. We understand that we're being tempted in a way, but I think my wording is pretty accurate. We think of it as just a natural temptation. It's just something that has taken place. But I'm convinced more and more that it is Satan that is doing it. Matthew chapter number 4. I've been amazed at some things in my life. I make a decision about something. I make a spiritual decision about something. And it's not long before, boom! Satan comes with a strong temptation in that area. Now, as I think about temptation, I think about what is it that we're looking for in temptation? Well, we know that we don't want to do it. Because we know, if you understand as a Christian, that the results are not good. Those results are bad. I, as a Christian, am looking for comfort. Can't remember who I was talking to today, but sometimes when there are certain temptations that come my way, what I do is I look for a place, I look for a time to read God's Word. I can't remember who it was I was talking to about. Maybe it was the Johnsons over there. But I'm blessed at my job, in a way, to where any time I can stop and grab a Bible and go upstairs and read it for a little bit. And I have done that before, because there's just a strong temptation. There's many different temptations we can have. Sometimes it's to be depressed, discouraged, and sometimes it's anger, and you know, sometimes it's just great for me just to get away for a little bit and just to read the Word of God. And you know, that always solves the problem. Spending time with the Lord, takes that away. You know what's happening when I do that? When I pause and spend time in the Word, Satan is taking a ride. Brian's not going to give in, so I guess I'll just tempt somebody else. James 4 and verse number 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is a promise. So if we resist him, he will flee. And I said earlier that that is the goal. That's what we want. This is Satan hard? Yes, he is, but that's the Christian life. It wasn't easy for Jesus either. But we see at the last part of verse number 11, then the devil leaveth him. Why did he leave him? Because he was saying no. But when we give in a little bit to the temptation of the devil, he's going to stick around. The illustration is used many times. It's just like a bully. You stand up against a bully. Not that I recommend standing up to a bully. That's kind of a different kind of thing. I would say give them over to the Lord. But there's, you know, certain things that can be said that way. Foreign policy, you could look at it from that direction. You take a stand and they stop making their moves. And Satan is very much the same way of what we see here. Jesus resisted the devil, and as a result of that, the devil left. There are some things the devil bugs me about. Oh yeah. Sometimes they're very much things of the past. You know, sometimes, to be honest with you, one of the things the devil bugs me the most about happened many years ago. Many, many years ago. But he still likes to use him. What's my job? Resist him. What do I need to do that? I find a passage of Scripture that contradicts what he's trying to tell me. And then I use that. Now, what do I do? I remember asking a professor this question, and I didn't love his answer. It was okay, but I didn't love it. When I quote, my question was this, when I quote the Bible, when I quote a Bible verse to do I quote it to myself or do I quote it to Satan? That was my question to my professor. Do I just quote it to myself or do I quote it to the devil? And I think most of you will probably figure out what he probably said. What do you think he said? Both. Quote it to the devil and quote it to yourself. Now, you say you didn't like that answer? No, I'm not in love with the answer. Here's why. If I quote that verse to myself, and I obey what that Bible verse says, I am resisting the devil. Right there. I mean, I used to do this a lot. I would quote Scripture to the devil. Here's the problem. I'm really getting into a testimony of my life here, but that's okay, I guess. I used to doubt my salvation very heavily when my first couple years of college. Not surprised at all. It just seems like Bible college would be a place where that would happen. And the devil would try to convince me that I wasn't saved, even though I was. And what I would do is I would quote these scriptures to the devil. But here's the problem. I didn't have confidence in those Bible verses. That was the issue. It wasn't me throwing verses at the devil. The problem was, I didn't have faith in those verses. I was fearful. I was afraid. That was the issue. How were we supposed to be biblically? What we're supposed to do is, okay, I have this temptation, but the Bible says this, and if we think to ourselves, the Bible is right, I'm going to do what the Bible says. That is resisting the devil. And frankly, you don't need to say something to the devil. I think that's, I don't know. I mean, yes, Jesus did, but I think the main thing here is to take the Word of God and believe it and obey it. And that is resisting the devil. Notice in verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. It was God's plan for Jesus to be tempted of the devil, as we see here. As we go to verse number 2, it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. You know what I have noticed time and time again? The devil comes at me the hardest when I am weak. It happens so much. You know what happens to me a lot? This happens to me a lot. I start working on something. And the way that I operate, when I start working on something, I want to keep working at it, but the devil will bring a thought to mind. And my problem is, this is wrong of me, but what happens is, I keep working. You know, I'm still trying to fix the problem. But the devil is knocking on the side of my head. And my problem is, yes, but I need to fix it. I need to finish this job that I'm doing. And the whole time I'm trying to do the job, the devil is tempting me with something. And I'm not spiritual enough at the time to say, you know what? I gotta quit what I'm doing. I have to take a break. I have to stop what I am doing here. Because when my mind is focused on something else, I'm spiritually weak. I'm weak at the time, and the devil is taking advantage of that. I need to pause, and I need to go somewhere and spend some time with the Lord. Or the goal is this. This is the spiritual goal. Is that I know the verses of Scripture that I'm supposed to use. How often are you going to get a brand new temptation? A temptation that you've never had before. That pretty much never happens. The temptation that comes your way, you've had it before. I guarantee it. And so you have to have those Bible verses of Scripture, and so that you can quote those Scriptures and say, yes, I'm good to go. I can be victorious because of that. I'm sure you're like me, that when we are weak is when Satan goes after us the hardest. But verse number 3, let's see what that says. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now that word if there is very powerful. Satan is trying to put some doubt into the mind of Jesus Christ. We know that He is God. We know the impeccability of Christ. But we see here that the tempter really wanted to go after Jesus. So he said, if thou be the Son of God. Doubt was there. Many times Satan uses doubts. That's why we have to be so grounded in the Word of God. I appreciate the conversation that we had this afternoon about the purpose of the church and growing strong biblically and scripturally. It's because of that and through that that we're not going to have any doubts in our minds, but we're going to know for sure what the truth is. Because when we know for sure what the truth is, we can be confident and can be victorious over Satan. Jesus responds, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I just said a little bit earlier, the reason that we turn down sin is because of what the Bible says. We know, biblically speaking, that this is a sin, and quoting that to our minds, that's why we got to memorize it, and we can quote it to our minds, and we can be victorious right there. There's many different kinds of temptations that we can have. Many different ones, and they're all of them are not good. All of them have a bad result. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Once again, we see that doubt. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. We see that Satan is actually quoting Scripture. Now he's trying to twist it. He even left out a part to keep thee in all thy ways. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So he missed out on a part of that, and he certainly did it on purpose. So Satan can use even the Bible like we see here. Now he twists it and tries to impact our understanding. How would you feel if you were an Arminian and believed that you could lose your salvation? That'd be uncomfortable. What is that? A twisting of the Scripture results in four unequal legs. Verse 8. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We see, with all three temptations, there was a verse to combat it. Now, what I'd love to do, I won't do this, obviously. I don't know if any church would actually do this. But just think about it for a second. Just imagine if I brought the mic to every single one of you, and you gave the temptations that you experience on maybe a weekly basis or a monthly basis. These are my temptations. Would you be able to give the verse of Scripture that combats it? That's the important thing. To have the verse of Scripture to combat it. Because you're not going to get victory without the passage of Scripture. Do you think you're actually going to be victorious in your own power? You're not. You've got to have the Bible. And the Bible is what Satan hates. Which is why, when I find some quiet time, when I'm experiencing temptation, I take the Bible, I spend some time with the Lord. I love doing it. I do it often. Because I have to do it often. I find a quiet place. I open up the Word of God, pray, just asking the Lord to bless the time that I have to speak to my heart. I read the Bible, and I'm telling you what, a calmness comes over my soul. Why? What happened? Satan said, I don't want anything to do with this. The Bible's involved! I don't want anything to do with it if the Bible is involved! Satan hates the Word. And he will run away from the Word of God. Verse number 11, I talked about it already. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I also like that last part. You know, the calm that comes over my soul when I read the Bible and when I quote the Word. There's the comfort of the Holy Spirit there. The Lord knows, and the Holy Spirit of God knows, when we're experiencing temptation. And when we say no to it, I think the Lord has great compassion upon us at that time. I will never forget a time that I had. I don't like to talk about it a whole lot because it's a little bit... Are you sure, Brother Brian? Yeah, just one of those things. But I was getting ready to preach a meeting literally 10 years ago, about 10 years ago. I don't know if any of you have ever had this. I've heard other men talk about it and heard other pastors and things that sometimes they can sense the presence of the devil. They can just sense it. It happened to me once. That I can remember. It hasn't happened since then, so if you think I'm a crazy nut, it happened 10 years ago. But I remember waking up in the middle of the night once, and I could just tell something was not right. I could just kind of sense the presence of the devil. And I was scared. I was very scared. So I was so scared as I'm laying in my bed that my eyes were shut, I didn't move a muscle. And I'm serious, I did not move a muscle. And all that I did, remember, I just woke up. And all that I did was I quoted Scripture in my mind constantly. I was scared. And I've heard of other men going through this as well. It was just a constant. I didn't stop. I was so scared. I just kept on quoting the Word of God, quoting the Word of God, quoting the Word of God without opening up my eyes. It was just a constant quoting of God's Word. And eventually I fell back asleep, woke up the next morning, and everything was the same. But once again, it was the Word of God that drove Satan away. Satan does bug me. He does. But I have a job to do. My job is to know the Bible to combat the temptations. So that when those temptations come, I can quote the Word of God and Satan will leave. Now, obviously, Satan is just like a rude salesman that's trying to get his way no matter what. That is very much Satan. He's going to keep trying. And when the honest truth is, when we give in a time or two, he's just going to stick around longer. But we still have a job to resist him. Satan, this is what I really want to get to here. Satan is your adversary. He is not your friend. So when these temptations come, I've been learning, well, sometimes I just think, well, this is just something that's just natural, you know. It's just something that's happening and I can't do anything about it. No, I've come to the conclusion, this is Satan. He must be resisted. Or he's going to get his way. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, it's important to know that Satan is not your friend, and if he's bringing a temptation your way, that temptation is not good. He does not have your best interest in mind. He has your worst interest in mind. James 1, let's start with verse number 13, says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust." That's your sinful nature. Your own lust is your sinful nature and enticed. I believe that's Satan. Satan does the enticing. Now look at the results. If you give in to temptation, if you give in to the enticements, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. From a Christian's perspective, it bringeth forth sin, and sin brings forth chastisement as well. I guarantee there's Christians that are here, you could look back 20, 30, 40, maybe even longer years ago, and you could talk about the chastisement of God on your life, even though it was a long time ago. Why? Because the chastisement of God is a very memorable thing. It's very memorable. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I want you to know, Satan is not your friend. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just to look at some verses concerning Satan, how he is not our friend. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 18. Just looking at the character of Satan. "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." A few weeks ago, I was trying to counsel a young boy. I was trying to. He needs it. And I wanted to counsel him. And I could just sense the devil was getting in the way. And I'm not able to counsel him. Because of that, I believe the devil fought there. Here, the devil fought against Paul, wanted to get to Thessalonica, but he says Satan hindered us. Satan is at work today. Let's go to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Trying to communicate this. These temptations you have come from Satan, and Satan is not your friend. Luke 22, verse number 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." How many of you want to be sifted like wheat? That doesn't sound good. You know what? It's not good. The temptations you have come from Satan, and Satan does not have your best interest in mind. Satan is your adversary, not your friend. I think it's wise to start recognizing that these temptations are not just a natural, everyday kind of temptation. But these temptations are from the devil himself. And they are not to be messed with. I've already showed you from book of James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, that Satan is the one that does these enticements. It's been amazing. I make a spiritual decision and boom, Satan's not happy about that. Let's now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11. Like I said before, sometimes we think that the temptation is just something natural. But the reality is that's not true. Satan is busy. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan wants to corrupt. It's not something that's just natural. It's something that the devil is doing. This is something that has impacted me. This is not just a natural temptation. This is Satan. James chapter 4, verse number 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I can tell you this, continue to say no, and eventually Satan will leave. These days, folks, I have no doubts about my salvation. I know for sure that I have been born again. 18 years ago, maybe 17, I may not have been able to say that. I might have been saying, yeah, I'm saved, but really, I'd be quaking in my boots. I'd be scared. What if I'm not? But through the Bible, and through when these thoughts come, I look to the Word of God and I am comforted. You know, in time, Satan, of course, says, I'm not getting anywhere with them. I'm going to leave. Now, that doesn't mean that the devil is going to leave forever. The devil is going to come back. But when he comes back, you got to be prepared with the Word of God again to resist him and to say no. And if he knows, I'm not going to get anywhere with him. Does a salesman bug somebody if they think there's no chance they're going to be able to sell something? No, they're not going to waste their time. And Satan is the same way. Satan's very frugal with his time. He's not going to waste his time. And if he knows he's not going to get anywhere, he's going to stop and go somewhere else. And it's our job, by the Lord's help, to resist the devil. You know, in some ways, if the devil constantly hounds us, especially if he's doing it for years and years and years, I'd probably say a lot of that is our fault. We've not resisted him as well as we should have. We've been distracted. We've been even backslidden and have not done the job that we're supposed to do. The spiritual plan is we resist the devil, he leaves. We see that that does happen. Recognize that the temptation is not from a good source, but from Satan himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've given us today. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts through your Word, just as we read your Word. And so that we would become stronger and stronger and stronger, and that the devil would even know this temptation is not worthy to give this person, because I know that they're just going to say no. Continue to work in our hearts and to strengthen us that we may resist the devil. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As our heads are bowed and as our eyes are closed, just like to ask you some questions here tonight. My question is, are you giving in to the temptation of Satan? Are you giving in? If you are, you need to get right with the Lord. You need to recognize that you're not doing battle the way that you're supposed to be doing battle. And you need to get back on the battlefield. You need to know the Scripture so that you can resist Satan. There's somebody here tonight saying, Brother Brian, pray for me. I'm guilty of not resisting the devil. Anybody like that here? Brother Brian, pray for me. Okay, amen. I see that hand. I see another one. Praise the Lord. I'm guilty of not resisting the devil. Anybody else? God's spoken to me tonight. Well, what are you going to do about it? You know, it's actually quite simple. Know the Word of God. Know your temptations. You have a pastor. His name is Pastor Lance Ketchum. Go to him and say, Pastor, and go to the Word yourself and say, Pastor,
Would you mind helping me with some powerful verses, with some good verses about how to combat this temptation? Maybe you know them already, you're just not using them. But you need to combat the temptation of the devil.